My guests today are Hayden Plouf and Aaron Lancour, two founding members of a newly created group called the Dalton Diversity Directive. In the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement, they're working to make changes within the halls of the Dalton Center, the home of the School of Music at Western Michigan University. Thank you both for talking with me today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I would like to start with how this group began. Was it a conversation among friends? Was there some specific event that set off the spark that created the group?
I think it was, at least in my experience, it was kind of we had a conversation. I think it was Trey had a group message with people that he wanted to perform some compositions he had written, and he messaged kind of in light of current events happening and wanted to talk about like what we can do to help and what we can do to make a change. So we had a group chat for Trey, who is our president, general director, and he's a composition student at Western Michigan. And he messaged this group that we had originally made to perform some of his pieces in the fall. And he messaged us in light of current and recent events happening and asked if we wanted to get together and have a conversation about what we can do to make changes and cause change in the School of Music. And so we got together and then started talking and realized that if we wanted to become a registered student organization, then we only had a few days to submit the paperwork for that.
Wow.
Which was a little bit of a stress. We were like, oh, okay, we like didn't really expect that to come up so quickly. So that was kind of how it started, I think. I don't know if Hayden has more insight on that.
Was this after the shutdown? Were you communicating online at that point, or were you still able to meet face-to-face?
This was after the shutdown. It was only the middle of June that we ended up getting together. So it started out as a conversation in a group chat that then spread to a few other places, and then we were like, yeah, we effectively said, do you guys want to just get together, hash some ideas out about what we can do personally? And then when we got together, we began to realize what we can do personally to improve some of the spectrum of learning at the School of Music and hopefully throughout the College of Fine Arts is to form an organization that is very active and vocal and lobbying for this sort of diverse background.
How many people are working with you, are actually part of the Dalton Diversity Directive organization? Is it an entirely student-led group?
We have two faculty members. We have Dr. Christopher Biggs and Dr. Yulian Tay, and they both are assisting us as faculty advisors from two different perspectives. Dr. Biggs is helping us from a sort of curricula standpoint, and Dr. Tay is assisting us in the realm of, she is a fantastic piano instructor and has an incredible pedagogical background, and as such, a part of what she is going to be helping out with is sort of alleviating the fears that some people might have that by diversifying repertoire, you are losing some of that pedagogical capacity that you get from a lot of the standard repertoire.
That sounds like you're addressing concerns of instructors and teachers as part of this as well.
Yes, it is for students and instructors alike.
May I ask how you identified some of your goals and how you see the word diverse in context of a music school?
I think a lot of, at least for me, and I think that this is a shared sentiment, that in the School of Music and the College of Fine Arts, diversity comes, a big part of it is representation. So So a lot of concerts that are put on for convocation and a lot of pieces and works that are performed tend to be written by white males. And so a lot of what we are wanting to do is have more representation of composers that are people of color, different, gender, sexuality, just diversifying that and having people be able to be represented by composers and the works that we are performing. And then in classes and in curriculum, I think that it kind of is the same thing. A lot of the examples used are white males, and a lot of what we talk about is written by that very, very small group of people. So we are wanting to hopefully change curriculum in that there can be more representation by different diverse groups of people.
Is there a problem in that, the textbooks, the history of Western music, for example, they're already, printed and purchased, and they tend to reflect a non-diverse group of composers throughout history. I mean, how do you supplement that? Or is there new books out there, new study materials that can help?
There's a push that is growing in the, at least the American music theory community, to create a push towards more diverse repertoire, because a study was recently released of all the 7 most common theory textbooks throughout the United States. And I believe in total, out of the hundreds and hundreds of examples, there were only 2 by people of color and less than 15 by women.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have become a bit more aware of that, but it's a change that is, still forthcoming, but hopefully with organizations like the Dalton Diversity Directive, we can create upward pressure on teachers, who then can then create upward pressure on the people who are writing the textbooks, et cetera, until hopefully there's a more diverse range of music that is drawn from, for example.
Yeah. And I think that the textbooks are already written, and there's a group of textbooks that are typically used and most commonly used. And so in that regard, that is, I think, a change that will come a little bit slower. But I think that by having teachers and professors in their class, they have the ability to quickly change what they are representing and what examples they're using. So I think that that's kind of maybe the base step. Kind of the first step is just like putting pressure on these teachers to change what they are using as examples in their class, and maybe relying less on these textbooks that only represent a small group of composers. So I think that the textbook aspect is a change that will take a little bit more time, but I think that by starting with having the teachers use different examples, we can get there for sure.
Yeah, I personally have this feeling that because of the virus shutting everything down, and this impactful, powerful Black Lives Matter movement, there's been time for people to look at those textbooks and think, that's not good enough. And actually, we may see in the next year or two revisions and better editions out there that are more representative.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely hope so. And I mean, this is also in a right now when there is the traditional medium of music performances it is not going to be viable, and I doubt that people are going to feel safe coming out to concert halls for a long time. This is the time for people to make some radical changes in the way that they program and present music, because the old ways really can't function right now. So we have to think, how do we adapt to this new, coronavirus-laden world? How do we adapt when there's such a broader array of socially conscious people who are maybe, you know, who maybe have always wanted to perform more diverse music, but haven't necessarily had the opportunity because so much of the curriculum is, you know, focused on the dead white male composer. So even though so much of what is happening in the world right now is extremely difficult for musicians, it does admittedly give us an opportunity to look forward and really, you know, grapple with these issues that people have been talking about for a while, but there's never been any impetus by the musical establishment to genuinely engage with it.
I'm speaking with Hayden Plouffe and Aaron Lancour of the Dalton Diversity Directive. It's a change-making group that is working from within the Dalton Center to diversify curriculum, programming, and more. We've talked a little about both of those things. What are some of your other objectives?
So my function in the group is as my official title is librarian/researcher. And a part of what I'm doing is I'm going to be coordinating with the social media team to make students at WMU aware of just how broad a selection of music we really have in our library. For example, we have a plethora of works by the fantastic African-American composer William Grant Still that, you know, I was the first person to have ever checked out any William Grant Still in almost 10 years. And I think a part of that is just the fact that students are not made aware of it, and so they don't know to look for it. So a part of it is just, you know, telling students, look at all this fantastic repertoire we have that, you know, like will significantly broaden and diversify your musical experience. And then the other thing that I do is seek out music and then coordinate with our treasurer to obtain new works and make them available in the music library. So that's one of the measures that we are trying to focus on, and you know, hopefully it will encourage students to, you know, diversify their reps.
Absolutely. That is a worthy goal. For you, Aaron, what are some of the things on your to-do list as a vice president of the Diversity Directive?
Yeah, so one of my main responsibilities going forward is going to be reaching out to different people and trying to get people to come and speak and present, and what that will look like in terms of, you know, the fact that we still are having a lot of issues with the pandemic and having maybe a physical audience is going to be not feasible. So definitely needing to figure out what medium will work best and how to have these speakers and presenters, whether it be a Zoom call or Facebook Live or, you know, whatever virtual way of doing that may be. But that's one of my big responsibilities, is just reaching out to different people to have them come and speak and present and share experiences and thoughts and just having more representation.
How often do you meet for planning an organization?
Well, we have a fairly running through line of communication in a group chat that contains about, I would say somewhere around 16 people. We have this running through line of communication, and then we have official meetings so far around every week or every week and a half.
Communication is a big word that I wrote in my little prep notes here. I don't know if this is terribly relevant, but you know, myself long ago as a music student, I was aware that as a female flutist, there was certainly very little representation of female composers. Composers of color in the curriculum. But you know, I might sit with that idea for a few minutes, but then I'd go and think, well, I got to finish my assignment. And, you know, the sort of the trade-off of loving music and performing and getting a chance to be part of this world, I accepted that trade-off and didn't think to say anything or, you know, make much of it.
I think that's the position a lot of people find themselves in. I've been very blessed to have teachers who were very encouraging of me every time that I wanted to play something that strayed away from, you know, the standard Western canon. But it's an interesting, the embarking on this project has forced, I think, all of us in the group to confront some of our own internalized biases, because for a long time, some of the non-canon reps that I was focusing on, it was still majority white, still majority male. And that's not to say that there isn't a place for these, you know, these white male composers who were also left behind. However, I think it is important to recognize when we fall into that subconscious trap, and that is being vocal about that is exactly the way that, you know, you hopefully break that cycle.
Yeah. You know, you make me think that of, you remind me of influential professors and people who were working on those things when I was studying music too, but the overwhelming learned thing that I accepted was, it's just, that's fine and dandy, but it's just always going to be this way.
Mm-hmm. I think that another thing that we are hoping to accomplish is allowing students to, or not allowing them, but helping students to find their voice in these situations. And whether it be through us or directly from themselves, I think that having us as a group come forward and say, we are not okay with the way that things are run and the way that things are presented and we want change. It's already had, we've already had people reach out to us and say, yeah, I feel the same. Like, I'm going to send an email or I'm going to speak up as well. And so I think just letting students know that either, like, we are here for them to amplify their voices if that's what they're more comfortable with, or, you know, we will support you if you want to go forward personally and, you know, contact professors and speak up and try and make a change. I think that this group is hopefully, you know, letting people realize the power of their voice and that they can come to us to help with that as well.
Does anyone have the mission statement in front of them?
Our mission statement is, our goal is to help spread diversity in the School of Music, as well as the entirety of the College of Fine Arts and Western Michigan University at large, chiefly through, but certainly not limited to, the promotion of the study and performance of music by composers of color and LGBTQIA+ identities. With this, we aim to encourage the School of Music to provide more enriched educational opportunities, as well as directly assist students in finding and studying the aforementioned diverse musical material available. Another important goal of ours is to provide a voice to both current and prospective students to be able to speak up on issues that they may encounter on a day-to-day basis regarding the lack of diversity at our institution. It is our belief that no student should feel alienated from the education that they are receiving at our university and should instead feel both represented and empowered.
Thank you very much, Erin. Before we go, I think we're going to be chatting again to see how things play out in the coming year. Hayden, I just wondered if you would talk to your vision of what a successful Dalton Diversity Directive year would kind of look like. What do you see as a year of success?
I mean, a successful year would hopefully, course content and curriculum changes take time, but hopefully what we can do while we are waiting for those changes to take place, and this can, we can offer students supplemental resources that augment and expand their understanding from whether it be a theoretical perspective or a music history perspective. You know, broadening their experience while we wait for the school to, you know, incorporate that into the curriculum, hopefully encouraging of teachers and ensembles to have much broader and more diverse concerts, to make it less of an occasion when someone plays a concert that is all women or a concert that is all Black. Because if it's not an occasion for it to be all white males, it should not be an occasion for it to be, for a concert to be truly diverse, where everything is the norm, not just this fairly limited sphere, an environment where no matter what, students will still receive a quality education, but exploring the music that they want to and also broadening their own horizons. So that is my personal view of what a really successful year might create, is like a beginning shift in the culture of the School of Music.
Hmm. Part of me at times has wanted to kind of burst out with, but I really love some of those dead white male composers.
And I do too.
Yeah, I think this is not such an either or situation. It's a yes and, you know.
Yes. I think that's a good way of putting it. But I also feel that there's a certain point, there's a certain part of me that considers it to be also a matter of, I mean, well, you look at what this year was supposed to be, Beethoven's 250th, and when you look at all these celebrations, you realize that they're not that far off from what we do for Beethoven every year. So as much as I love and adore Beethoven, there's a part of me that thinks maybe Beethoven can get a bit of a break. That way we can come back to him and appreciate him the way that, you know, we all do, but it's a bit difficult when, you know, you just see so much Beethoven played all the time. It becomes not as remarkable as it should be, because Beethoven is a remarkable composer, but he begins to feel less remarkable your eighth time hearing Symphony 5 in concert.
I love that. I'm always thinking of, you know, his Beethoven in his grave saying, you know, you don't have to pick on me so much. You could just let someone else take the stage for a moment. Well, I asked about Hayden's vision, and Aaron, I'm just going to ask for your final thoughts and what you're hoping for.
Yeah, I think that I agree with you know, everything Hayden said, and I feel that that is a lot of what I would view a successful year. And hoping to have more people come to our university, you know, different people of color, you know, having people come and speak and, you know, represent the students here. And I hope that we can help to make a change of the concerts that are put on and the works that are performed. And I think that by us putting the pressure on the administration that the goal is in, and that we can achieve that goal. And, you know, I agree with white composers, they are great. I do love to listen to their music, but I think that it's time to give other people the space and other composers the space, you know, moving on beyond that. I think it should become more normalized, and for a concert to not just feel like it's checking the box of, oh, we had our diverse concert, now we're going to go back to playing the same stuff, it's going to be Beethoven next. But instead, it's, you know, it's not like a tokenized thing. It's just normal. It's just, yep, we're playing this piece and it's great. And it's not because we have to, or we have to meet some quota, which is at this point is what it feels like when those sorts of things happen.
There's always new music and new voices to just fall in love with. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we love being musicians and being in this world and being music listeners. You get a chance to feel great when you hear great music. We need to wrap this up real quick. I just wanted to have Hayden run down ways that listeners can keep in touch and keep tabs on what the Dalton Diversity Directive is up to.
Well, if you want to keep tabs, you can follow us on Facebook. We have a page there, Dalton Diversity Directive. I believe that we have Instagram and are also maybe getting a Twitter together sometime in the next week or so. So you should be able to follow us there. And then in terms of other ways to reach out, I think an important thing is that if you see, whether it be live streamed or an in-person concert, whenever those begin to happen in earnest, I think, you know, look and see, is it something more diverse, or is it, you know, or is it more of the same that we have come to expect? And, you know, try and make an emphasis to support the former rather than the latter. And that is a good way to, you know, just reach out.
Yeah, your click is like a vote.
Yes, it is. It is. It's exactly like that. You can choose to watch a live stream of, you know, the Well-Tempered Clavier or what have you again, or you can find someone who is performing work by more marginalized voices and give that a listen. And there are so many resources that are available in the modern era, what with, you know, YouTube and Spotify and all that. It is very easy to broaden your listening horizons. You just have to know where to look. And that's a part of what we as an organization are here for, is showing people where to look.
We also have a website, it's wmud3.weebly.com. And we have ways to contact us and different resources on there. So I think that that's also an important resource to keep in mind as for keeping in touch and reaching out.
Well, Hayden Plouffe and Aaron Lancour, it's been a real pleasure to get to know you and the Dalton Diversity Directive today. Thank you for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.